It'll be a new season, new set of challenges.
I was just massively impressed with what they're trying to do up here, the vision that they've got and how they want to drive forward. I've been given this opportunity. You take the risk or you lose the chance.
I think you can really, really tell how much the crowd are on our side, how much they're rooting for us.
It's a real privilege for me to be able to captain both the Celtic Dragons and the Welsh national team.
It's hard to walk away from something like this that you've worked really hard on.
Hello and welcome to the Netball Show with Viper 10. Well, a fantastic quad series has ended. Nat and I were at some of the games. Nat, you were more than me, but we were watching Australia take on England, which was the final one that we saw in London. It was such a close game. It was so unlucky that England couldn't win it. It was really incredibly frustrating actually to watch that. But what did you make of the quad series and that match?
Well, the quad series was amazing, and I think for us to come away with the silver is a fantastic achievement. And every time we beat New Zealand, a little bit of my heart just leaps with joy, because I just think we're just getting to that next stage, and every time we do it I'm like, yes, it wasn't a fluke, we can do this. And it's just really encouraging for me and for netballers and netball fans. And it's just great to see the team put out some fantastic performances like that. Their performance against New Zealand was unbelievable. That was the most incredible game for spectators. And I'm so happy that people could watch that, and it was streamed, and it was on TV, and that, you know, that was just so great for the game and for you know, widening the kind of the reach of netball. And there was some fantastic stories in there and you know, there was some great press coverage. So from that perspective it was fantastic, but just as a netball fan it was just amazing to watch the kind of consistency of the play, the flow of the game, some of the flair that we had on court. And yeah, it was just an absolute joy to watch us play New Zealand. The Australia game was obviously frustrating, and to watch it so soon after having watched New Zealand, we were all on such a buzz, so it felt like such a massive anticlimax. But the fight back that we had was incredible. It started really, you know, in a typical manner against Australia, and I was like, this is not going well, oh God. But we pulled it back, and that was fantastic to watch. But how did you feel as we pulled it back? Did you think that we could have done it?
No, I don't. I think that Australia just had too much on us, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think that we sort of lost our heads a bit, and I feel like some of the changes that were made going into the final quarter should have been made earlier. But I mean, it's always easier to say that when you're sitting and watching and you're not in the position as a coach or a player, so I understand that I'm in like a different position. But it was annoying. I was just like, oh, and you could see when I was interviewing the England players and Tracy afterwards, like, you could see the absolute, they were just gutted and they were so disappointed, because they obviously went in with complete belief that they could beat Australia, and I do believe that they will be able to and that they can, and they've done it before. But it was just gutting for them to not be able to like realize that and make that actually happen, which is a complete shame. But I was actually, when we were chatting, you and I, Nat, before the game, I was wondering whether the Aussies might kind of lull England into a false sense of security and sort of, you know, so that we'd get a victory, maybe they'd play like a slightly weaker squad or something, and then going into Commonwealth Games, we'd be thinking, oh, we beat them in the quad series. Which, because that has happened before, when just before Commonwealth Games, we've like secured victories over Australia and then gone into the Commonwealth Games thinking, yes, like we can beat them. We've just done it recently and then it hasn't happened. But no, they didn't do that. They just beat us. It was really great to go to that game and to see the Aussies playing as well. I mean, the England team are world class. And I have to say as well, Helen Howersby, I think she's improved. I've always, since she's been playing for Manchester Thunder, I've always thought she's been incredible.
Yeah.
But since she's been playing out in Australia, coming back and watching her now, it's like she's like a new player with extra legs or something.
She's
incredible.
She's a different class, isn't she?
Yes.
The strength she has just astounds me. Like, to look at her, it's so deceptive. I'm like, where is the strength?
Yes.
Where on your body are you hiding the strength? It's crazy. But she is like incredible to watch. Some of those balls that she received, I'm just like, how are you getting off the ground like that? It's amazing. And the level of trust that her players can put in her, they are just wanging balls to her that I would get screamed at for throwing, you know. That's the kind of ball that terrifies my coach, and they are confident to put that in. Obviously the placement's on, but she will just take balls out of the air. She has those sticky hands that remind me of Joe Hart, and I think she is going to be an absolutely formidable player coming into the Commonwealth Games. But I agree with you, as you said, about them, they didn't listen to a full sense of security. They came out firing, and I appreciate that they did that, because I would prefer to be in this position knowing where we stand against a strong team. They put out their best players. They had Caitlin on for, you know, the majority of the game. They couldn't, you know, get her off, and I think that's a testament to our players for the defence they put, you know, for the pressure they were putting on. So I think that is a really good thing that they didn't think they could put out a weaker team and just have a run out. Like, we were challenging them and we were fighting them to the end. And I think it's almost good that we haven't had that kind of, okay, we can beat them feeling before going into the Commonwealth Games. It's now, we're now in a position where they beat us. It was frustrating, but it was close enough that it gives us hope and it gives us kind of a direction to think, what is it we need to do so that when we meet them again, we're not going to feel like this. We're going to, you know, we're going to edge closer, or we could actually take it. And I think it's a good position. So I'm glad they put their strongest team out, and I'm still feeling really positive about the games this year. But yeah, Australia were unbelievable to watch. They're so fast. They're so strong. They are so consistent. That's what I love about them, their consistency. They don't waver. They go up and they stay up. And even when a team starts to come closer to them and, you know, and the scoreline gets close, they don't freak out. They don't lose their heads. They keep their strength. They keep fighting for every ball. And it's their error count. They don't have it. They don't have the same level of error count that we have. And I think that's really impressive. And just that kind of winning vibe they have. They just like, I think we're more used to being on the back foot, so when we start to be ahead, that's when we get too excited and we lose our heads a little bit. Whereas Australia, they've got such a history of being number one, they don't need to feel like that. And I think that's why they can remain so zen at all times, no matter what's going on.
And it's like, as soon as England or any team that they're playing against get close and are about to equalise, Australia just somehow, it's like they remove phase two and they just, from a centre pass, they literally just get it in, and it's almost like they don't have to work it to get to the shooter, and they'll suddenly be four goals up again, and you're like, how did that happen? I just blinked.
I know. I'm like, what on earth? What did I miss then? It feels like 10 minutes has passed, and you look away from the scoreline for a second and the whole game has changed. So they were incredibly, incredibly impressive.
I had the opportunity to jump on board with Viper 10, and it really drew to me, it being born here in Bournemouth, and that's where my dad's from. And you know what? The people were pretty cool, so I got along with them really well, so it was easy fit. I saw the kits, and from the get-go, I absolutely loved them. They were fun, a little bit flirty, and just different. So yeah, it was cool, and they're really comfortable.
So yeah, I loved watching Australia, but there was something that I couldn't help but notice with them, and that is the complete lack of diversity in their squad. And I find that something quite problematic and just a little bit strange, really, given that the makeup of their squad, there is not one non-white face. And I find that really strange, given the diverse makeup of Australia, of modern day Australia. The Diamond squad doesn't at all seem to reflect what Australia looks like today. And I find that really surprising when you look at England's squad and the huge amounts of diversity we have. And it made me think, why is that? What's going on there? So I did a little bit of digging, and I found a really amazing article about it on Netball Scoop, which is literally just from December last year. And they were looking into this and the lack of diversity there. And they said that the last time an Aboriginal Australian woman represented the Diamonds was 17 years ago in 2001. And I just thought that was incredible. It's crazy. Because The article went on to say that there are 40,000 Aboriginal netballers in Australia. So that is mental. How can it be that none of these 40,000 netballers are good enough to make the selection process? And it just seemed to me that there must be some sort of systemic issue here stopping that progression. There's something preventing those players from getting through, either from getting noticed, from getting on the right pathways. I am not an expert at all in how the Australian pathway process works to get to that level, but it just seems there must be something there that's preventing that diversity. So, I mean, to their credit, Netball Australia are trying to tackle this. So I looked into it and they did hold an Indigenous high performance camp in Canberra. And this was last summer. So they selected 21 talented Indigenous players for a 3-day camp. And this is players who are hoping to break through into the Premier State Leagues and players who were an integral part of their state or territory junior national championship team. So these are young players from diverse backgrounds, and they are, Netball Australia took them all together to try and bring them into the system, it seems. That's 21 out of 40,000 netball players, yeah. and it's a 3-day camp and that was, you know, what, like 3 days last summer, and obviously it's not going to be an instant fix, but is that really enough to yeah. tackle this huge issue and to really change the face of netball in Australia? Like, do you think Netball Australia are doing enough to tackle this?
I mean, it is good that they're having these camps, but yeah, it's almost an insignificant amount of time and number of players who are actually going to them. 21 isn't enough. I mean, I know when they do the Diamonds camps as well that there's only a very small number of people selected, so it's good. I mean, it's kind of like when you say, you know, should there be, it's the equivalent of saying, should there be like a women's award ceremony to ensure that they get something rather than just having one with the men. And it's like almost when you have the argument when you say, you know, you need to have that in order for them to be recognised in some way, but it shouldn't have to be separated, but that's what you have to do in the beginning before it actually does become equal. So
yes,
it's really hard to say. I mean, it's positive that at least they're doing something rather than us just being like, look, the last Aboriginal Diamonds player was in the squad 17 years ago and they've not done anything. Mm. But yeah, maybe it probably isn't enough really, is it?
Well, like you say, they do have to start somewhere. So the fact that they are doing something is really positive. I'm tempted to say that it's too little too late, but it's not really. I mean, it's surprising that it's surprising to me that it's taken them this long to kind of address it and to think that, okay, there's clearly a systemic problem here and something that needs to be addressed. And I think really this should have been being spoken about 10, 20 years ago, and there should have been movements then to bring players from different backgrounds into the system. And so it's a shame that it's only happening now, but the fact that they are doing something is obviously good. And like you say, there shouldn't have to be separate camps for Indigenous players, but that is the only way to kind of start it off, and hopefully in 5 years' time that it'll be a different story and we won't have to separate it like that. There'll be a more natural kind of integration there and a more natural mixture in the squads and the players that we're seeing coming through. So and I just think it will be so good for the Diamonds to have that level of diversity. Like, you're bringing people in with different experience, different cultural experience, different genetic makeup. They'll have different strengths, different outlooks, different different perspectives on the game, on sport itself, and on their relationships. It'll change their team dynamic. And I think, you know, they're obviously at the top of their game. They don't need to change, but I think this kind of change will be a good thing and will only benefit them. So I'm glad to see it happening, and hopefully it is something that we'll begin to see in the next 5-10 years, that there will be more diversity. Because I just think about all those young players in Australia who are looking at the squad and seeing no one who looks like them. And you know, I think Australia, I don't really know much about the country and the kind of the ethnic makeup there and how, you know, the levels of integration with Indigenous people, but I do think it's changing and becoming more progressive. So I think as that progresses, the national team needs to reflect that, and that there needs to be people at the top level that young girls can look up to and see themselves in and think that that's something that they can aspire to as well.
Definitely. I was actually just going to say that, yeah. Very important for them to have players that they can that can inspire them.
Definitely, definitely.
Thank you for listening to The Netball Show. That was me, Sasha Shipway, and Natalie Morris talking about diversity in netball and especially in the Australian Diamonds. Later this week, you do not want to miss it. We've got an excellent show coming up where we talk to Wasps following their media day, find out who they think their toughest competition for the season's going to be. Definitely a good one. Andy speaks to Benico's Mavericks, Alice Travis, and he finds out why Pamela Cookie left her role at Stars, an exclusive interview there. So a lot to look forward to. As ever, you can follow us on Twitter. We are at The Netball Show. Make sure you tweet us and give us your feedback. If you like the podcast, leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to the show. We're also on Facebook, also The Netball Show. So, yep, check us out and thank you so much for listening.
It'll be a new season, new set of challenges.
I was just massively impressed with what they're trying to do up here, the vision that they've got and how they want to drive forward. I've been given this opportunity. You take the risk or you lose the chance.
I think you can really, really tell how much the crowd are on our side, how much they're rooting for us.
It's a real privilege for me to be able to captain both the Kelsey Dragons and the Welsh national team.
It's hard to walk away from something like this that you've worked really hard on.